You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 14. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we've opened thy word, so deal with us. Spirit of God, thank you very much. Thank you. In Christ's name. Amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, remember, the last living apostle, and written just before the turn of the century, along with the last writings, Revelation, etc. And in the process of that, John is going to bring to us his assignment. He is the penman for God to write to us. And tell us, in the light of all secular history, in the light of all sacred history, God, what's it all about? It's all about you. And therefore, the Gospel of John is about God being God. That's what it's about. When it's all done, it was all about God being who he is. Now, and having said that, so here's the 3 1/3 year ministry has gone by, public ministry. They are in the upper room, and the 11 are left. Judas is gone, and they're only hours away from the crucifixion. And in the process, God is seeking to encourage them. And you want to have that in mind as you're reading chapter 13 through 17, that God is helping them because, as far as they're looking, their viewpoint at this point is prison or death. And there's not much else ahead. The whole thing is going to come to an end. And all of the wonderful expectations, all of the wonderful encouragement of the future, as far as they're looking at it, is coming to an end. That's why Judas did what he did. He saw no hope, no way, in the light of God going out in Christ, being glorified by way of crucifixion. Now, so therefore, in chapter 14, as we've been reading, God is making sure that they understand who he is. They don't yet. They don't, but they will. And God, they've hung in there. Got to give them credit. They didn't back away. They were willing to go to the death of the cross. I mean, they're willing to go all the way. That's something in itself. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, therefore that he's going to help them. And he says, remember, they want to know where he's going and to whom he is going. Where are you going to go and why? Therefore, and now, having said that little bit, and he answers Thomas, I am the way, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, I am the Father. And I'm everything. You're able to visualize. You're able to reach out and touch me. I have sat at the table and served you. God, in all of your infinite, endless, as it were, from our point of view, we have no words. We have no words because God, as we shared, and have to keep saying it over and over again, there's nothing outside of God. Everything is inside of God. There's nothing outside. It's hard for us. There has to be an outside, but there is no outside. That's very hard. Wow. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, you need that. God, you're going to help them. All they got to do is reach out and touch you. And that's the whole package. You are the whole thing. That's correct. And therefore, we shared together verse 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. And in the process, he said it very clearly and simply, sliding down, I'll have to read it, I guess, a little bit. Verse 8, Philip saith unto him, after Thomas, Philip, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. We're satisfied. It's enough. Do some marvelous way that you alone can do in this upper room, and make God, make us understand the miracle, the wonder of a show us God, the Father. You can do it, Lord. Now, verse 9, Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? I and the Father are one, but the same. John 10:30. Verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father, he's the origin, he's the source of them, they aren't my words. So all the words I've been saying to you about anything are from the Father. And, verse 10, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. So the source of the works are based on the source of the words. The source of the words are the Father. The source of the works are the Father. The same Father, same God is saying, the same God is doing, acting. Now, so therefore, verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Believe me. In other words, here I am. I've told you all along, I am that I am. Exodus 3:14, I am that I am. And all the way in John, I am that I am. The bread of life. I'm the light of the world. I am all. I am. I am. I'm it. I'm God. Ah, now, having said that, and he said, now, believe me. Remember chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. You believe God is God. You're not wrong. Absolutely. You should believe God is God. And by the way, you ought to believe also in me. You believe in God, infinite. Now, look at me. God, now look at me. You believe in God, believe in me. Believe in me. You're not wrong. Do it. It's a command. Do it. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and I want you to believe. I'm trying to tell you, I'm bearing testimony to who I am. I'm God. You want to know who I am? I'm God. We read it in Matthew 21, verse 10 and that. They said, Who is this riding on this donkey? Who is this one? What are you saying a few days later, a few hours later? I am the one. You're not wrong. Hang on. Now, in the light of that, hold your finger here a minute. And John chapter 8, just to pick up the fragrance of that again. John chapter 8, picking up, if I may, in directly in the light of everything, context in that. Verse 45. Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. I'm trying to tell you what everything you should know, but you don't believe me. What are you saying in John 10, John 14? Believe me. The trouble is you don't believe me. Now, back over to chapter 14. Now, in the light of that, if I may, in chapter 14, having said that, verse 12. Now, we've got to pay attention to 12 because you can write it off and say it can't ever be true. Ah, let's see how true it is. Now, John chapter 14, he said, Verily, verily, verily. Remember, he uses this expression, the word verily, amen, amen, amen. Verily. Most assuredly, I want you to know with great emphasis what I'm going to say to you now. You wouldn't even expect it ever to hear it. I'm going to say it to you clearly, clearly, clearly. I want you to understand. I'm going to go and think of verily, verily 25 times. I'm going to go and draw a big, heavy line under what I'm saying. I'm not just going to say it, I'm going to underline it. Therefore, verily, verily, underlined. You have to understand, what I'm saying to you, you can't even dream of. That's what he's saying. So therefore, when he says, verily, verily, he's telling you, I'm giving you my personal direct. It is so, amen, verily, it is so, so be it. What I'm telling you is so. Now, hang on to that, if you would. Now, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am saying unto you, I am saying unto you, and this is in the plural, this is to all of them, I am saying unto you, he that believeth on me, like in John 14, chapter 14, verse 1, he that believeth on me, in the direction of me, going into the room and then sitting down, enter, sit, stay there, rest, is the little preposition. I got that. Now, believe. You believe me, I am who I am, and then verse 12, I want you to believe on me. You believe who I am? Believe on me. Rest down on me. Trust me with all your heart. Receive me, as it were, in your heart and head. Now, in verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do. Why? Because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, so the works, and remember he just said, verse all the way through there, at the end of verse 11, for the very work's sake, the works bear witness to who I am. Hang on to that. Now, I want you to know, gentlemen, up there, here's the 11 disciples to be apostles and then to us. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, that I am doing, shall he do also. And shall he do, and he's going to do the same thing. He that believes. What's the qualification? Believe. Enter the room, sit down. Believe me. You believe who I am? Come to me, rest down on me. Now, if I say unto he that believeth on me, the works, same word, the works that I do, the evidence, how I do things, in the light of what I say and what I do, that I'm doing, shall you do also, and in the light, greater than these shall you do. Greater than these. The little word greater has to do with that which is quantity, quality, amount, dignity, honor, greater, more, bigger, better, wow. Greater, quantity, quality, how so? Greater, in verse 12, greater works than these shall he do. Now how can the believer do more than the Lord? How can that be? Now, in order to catch that, over to chapter 5, John chapter 5. John chapter 5, picking up a statement to encourage the believers as the Lord was out working his wonderful ministry. Verse 20, chapter 5, verse 20. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. He does the works. And he will show him greater works, greater, there's your little word, greater works than these, that you may marvel. In other words, I'm going to make an impression on you, and the Lord is doing what he's doing, and he's going to do more. He's even going to go, of all things, he's going to go to the cross and rise again. You are all going to marvel. Say, wow. Now, having got that part, that's wonderful about the Lord. But then you've said what, Lord? You have said all these different things in these 3 1/3 years. Over to Matthew chapter 21. And in Matthew chapter 21, may I go and read, picking up a word marvel, verse 20, 21, 20. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily, I say unto you, if you have faith, and doubt not, don't doubt, ye shall not only do this, which is done to the fig tree, but also, if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things, verse 22, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Now that's an awesome statement. Awesome statement. Wow. That's what he said. Now, did he mean that? And who does that? I mean, who can say to the tree, into the ocean, wow, that's an awesome statement. God, what do you mean? Help me. Is it about trees? Fig trees? No. Over, if you would please, now, back over to, in your Bible, to John chapter 14. Now remember now, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry, I'll do that at least for a bit, John chapter 16, hold your finger here, the Gospel of John chapter 16, and you will notice, verse 13, if I may, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of God, is come, he will guide you into all truth. How so? But he shall not speak of himself, no. But whatsoever he shall hear, like the Lord serving the Father, Spirit of God serves the Father. 4, he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. His whole ministry is to exalt my person and work, that you could honor the Son. When you honor the Son, you honor the Father. I and my Father are one. So when you honor the Son, you must understand you're honoring the Father. Now, having said that little bit, back over to John chapter 14. The Spirit of God's wonderful ministry. Now, in order to, I need a little more help. Over to John, you still got your finger in 14. Hold your finger in 14. John chapter 1. We need some more help here. The Spirit of God is going to do something wonderful to the believing believers. That's what he's going to do. Now, what do we know? John chapter 1, verse 14, as we shared, and the Word was with God, verse 1, the Word was God, etc., etc. Now, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So, our Lord Jesus Christ, Moses came to bring the law, verse 17. Jesus Christ came to bring grace and truth. So his wonderful ministry is what the law, your effort, your energy to produce and be good enough. You can't do it. You can't do it. God, what do we have to learn to be rightly understand? We can't do it because of sin. But God, you can do it all by your lonesome. That's called grace. God, you have to do the whole thing. We can't do it. That's grace. Lord, why did you come? I came to save sinners. I came to save them. By law? No. By grace and truth. Thus slide down to the believer that receives, as you know, verse 16. And this, and in his of his fullness, our Lord, who's full of grace and truth, have all we received the same as you receive him as your Savior, John 1:12. Verse 16, and of his fullness have we all received grace for grace for grace in place of grace. God, you are full of grace and truth, and when we receive you as our Savior, you inside, in the believing heart, full of grace and truth, are going to do what? I'm going to demonstrate grace and grace and grace. I'm going to take your little life and demonstrate my grace. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it day in and day out. How am I going to enjoy eternal life? Because of your grace. How am I going to have anything? Because of your grace. That's why. Now, having said that, so you've got the Spirit of God's ministry going and doing a most wonderful thing in the believing heart. He's going to go and save the believing heart. The Spirit of God is. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be their wonderful Savior as you receive him as your Savior. And the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to go and demonstrate the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, as you know. Now, and he said, what's he going to demonstrate? Now, I've got to add one other thing, you know. You don't have to turn there. In Ephesians 2, verse 6 and 7, what is the future forever of the church? It's to be seated in heavenly places, which is now, to show forever his grace. That's why you'll be there. No one else is there like you are. Just the believing in his church, the body. To demonstrate what? His wonderful grace. Wow. That's what it's going to be. And the church, the believers, are going to be the believers that are new creatures in Christ, born. They're going to be demonstrating his grace forever. That's what they're going to do. Now, and therefore, is it greater in quality, quantity? Not more than our Lord, but it is an extension of our Lord's wonderful person. He's going to demonstrate that he rose again from the grave. You'll remember from John 12, 38, 39, 40, the only sign that I will give to this world. No more signs. I'm going to take. They're going to crucify me in unbelief, and I'm going to go and demonstrate before the tribulation, before wrath. I'm going to demonstrate in the dispensation of grace, Ephesians 3:2. I'm going to demonstrate my grace. By how? I'm going to take whosoever's, and I'm going to save them, and they're going to be saved by grace. They're going to demonstrate my grace. And what I did in my wonderful person, said the Lord, I'm now going to take all of them. The head, Christ the head, is going to take the body and show itself in a most wonderful way. Now, you know, you only have one head. True? But look at all the other parts you got. If you just had a head, all you need is a basket to carry it around, right? Someone would have to carry it. But you have a whole body. And what's your body do? It evidences your feet, your toenails, evidence your head. Look at them all. Your whole body is demonstrating the head. Nothing else, is it? It isn't demonstrating your liver. It's demonstrating your head. Hang on to that. It's marvelous. God, that's what you're doing. You bet. Hey, watch it. Oh, watch it. Now, in the light of that, and keeping that in mind, over to Romans chapter 6. Romans in chapter 6, if I may. You'll remember we shared the only sign he's going to show is his resurrection. And what are believers? Believers are showing the grace of God. Christ is glorified on the cross and demonstrates his grace in a new and fresh way by taking whosoever's that believe and showing his wonderful person. And therefore, what does the whole world of forever, past, present, and future need to know? That when Christ died on the cross, he died for the sin of the whole world, from Adam to the last person in the millennium. He died for them. And therefore, he's going to demonstrate what? Grace. How did Adam get saved? By grace. How does the person in the millennium believe? By grace. That's what they're going to do. And we are demonstrating the wonderful grace of God in a most awesome way. We are whosoever's that believe. Now, therefore, Romans 6, as you know, the cross, think of next Wednesday, a good Wednesday, and chapter 6, verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. What kind? For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, then we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And therefore, sliding down to verse 12, verse 11, likewise reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You're alive. You're going to demonstrate what? Newness of life in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that, newness of life, that's an awesome thing. But, God, how are we going to do that? Well, I'll tell you first how you're not going to do it. So the first thing you're going to get clear, in order to come to grips with all of this, you've got to understand what's not going to happen. Contrary to your flesh and mind. Over, if you would, please, to 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy, if I may, picking up in chapter 1, verse 9, drawing directly in the light of the time and context. Verse 9, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. But it isn't according to your works. It's nothing to do with you. What are these greater works you're going to do? That move fig trees? What are you talking about, God? Whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. What is involved here? Over, please. If you would. To Titus. Titus, right next door. Titus in chapter 3. And you recall God saying it again and again. Going directly again. verse 4, but after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward all men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. Now, and it isn't going to be by anything works, so it's going to be nothing about you. So it isn't your talent, it isn't your human abilities, it isn't anything about you. You're going to do something, and it's all going to be different. But God, and you want to do it. I do. I'm going to do it. I want to do it. I want you to understand, though, that it's not of you. So don't figure out. Well, am I able to do that, or whatever? And don't do that. Don't even attempt that. You're crucified with Christ, dead. No more works. No works at all. No works whatsoever. Now. And therefore I don't want you to, I want you to understand that, not by works. And over to 1 Peter. Just, there's all kinds of places. I just get enough of it to, for you to see it and understand it. 1 Peter chapter 2, picking up, if I may, in verse, again, context, verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation, your manner of life, honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. They're going to have to be able to say, God, did you show people in the days of Luther, the days of anybody, today? Do you show people your grace? I do, in every believer that's saved, and especially the believer that is believing. I'm showing my grace. So when they're going to say, well, you never, it won't be even said anyway, thought of, well, God, when did you do this? I showed you. I showed you that I could save whosoever's. I could save them. That's grace. Why did you die on the cross? To save whosoever's. They don't believe. They don't. But I'm going to demonstrate my wonderful grace in a most awesome way to do so. Now, back over, if you would please, to Ephesians. And in Ephesians, picking up, if I can, Ephesians chapter 1, getting the thought. Now, in the light of that, going directly, if I can, to verse 4. According as he hath chosen us, God hath chosen us in Christ because we believe. That's right. Christ died on the cross for you before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world. That and you saw yourself there. God said that I died for you back then. Before I ever created you, I died for you. That's why you could be created. Why would I create you to die in your sins? Hell, there would be no hell if the angels never fell. There wouldn't be a hell. There'd only be wonderful heaven. But because of the angels' fall and hell is prepared for the devil and his angels, therefore, verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. God, that's your purpose. It is. Over to chapter 2. Picking up, if I can, verse 7. That in the ages to come, and by the way, in case you missed it, I'm going to read verse 6. I said it, but I'll read it. Ephesians 2, 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that purpose, in the ages to come, forever, he might show what? The exceeding riches of his grace, to have us sit there. No one else is going to sit there, but you is going to sit there. No one else is going to sit there. You're going to sit there if you're saved because of grace. Now, and thus, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. No. Well, then what? For, verse 10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto what? For what on earth reason? For good works. To demonstrate what? To demonstrate grace. Not to demonstrate works. Our works, that's flesh, that's our old nature. No flesh shall glory in his presence. It isn't about us. It's about God dying on the cross before anything ever was created. God's wonderful plan and purpose to save whosoever's and to demonstrate his wonderful person. To whom? the angels, the good guys and the bad guys, so that they can see. They're going to be educated forever. And I am going to demonstrate visually forever what normally wouldn't be there. I'm going to take whosoever's and I'm going to give them a resurrected body. And they're going to be unto me a resurrected Lord. And I am going to make visible my infinite person in a most awesome way. And the angels, who are spirit beings, are going to look at the new Jerusalem and all of those things and see us. Wow. Wow. Now, chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should what? Walk in them. That's what we should do. We're supposed to live in them. But what do you mean, God? If I don't die on the cross, it can't happen. I can't give you the life that you need. You have to understand, I'm going to take you to the cross and rise again, and the Spirit of God is going to come in his wonderful regenerating work and produce a wonderful relationship to me, the infinite God, in a most awesome way to demonstrate the wonderful work that I did on Calvary's cross in saving whosoever's that would believe. Now, and thus, we're going to walk and live in them. Chapter 3 of Ephesians. And in chapter 3, may I slide over to O to get the idea of it. Verse 19, to know the love of Christ, 3:19, which passes knowledge. That means you aren't going to understand it. And you aren't going to sit down and put it in your pocket. You aren't going to take a notebook and write about it. There's no book. There's not all the books in the world could be written about your relation, God's love and relationship to you. They couldn't be written. They are not there. All the books in the Library of Congress, 9,000 zillion of them. Right. Nope. All you can do is be in my love. You aren't going to. My peace that passes what? Understanding. All you can do is be in it. Don't try to capture it like you do other things. You can't capture it. You live in it. It's your atmosphere. It's your life. Wow. Now, so verse 19, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, so all of a wonderful God, you're a wonderful person, like we shared the other day, you can't have more, when you receive the Lord as your Savior, you can't have more of God than you have. There's no way to ever have more than God. What you have to do is enjoy and understand the relationship to let it work. That's what we'll do tonight, Lord willing. Maybe. Now, in the light of that, verse 20, now unto him, in the light of this wonderful relationship, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all, no one writes like that except God, above all that we ask or think, that's beyond anything we can handle, to the power, according to the power that worketh in us. So God, what did you say? Greater works than I did, you're going to do. You're going to do awesome things. About what? I'm going to demonstrate grace in your work, your home, your school. Whatever you eat or drink, 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you eat or drink, do it what? To the glory of God. And whatever you do, do it in the name of God. You're a son of God. If you're saved, then I want you to walk around as my son. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what I want. Be a son. Aren't you daughters, sons, aren't you? And we walk around, don't we walk around because of our father? Sure we do. Well, God said walk around because you're my son. And wherever you sit, walk, eat, drink, you're mine. You demonstrate a relationship to me. I made you when you received me, John 1:12, as your Savior. I made you a child of mine. Romans 8, I adopted you. I made you a full, bloomed, blossomed son in who I am. Walk around as a son. You live as a son. Breathe as a son. Newness of life. Old things are what? Passed away. All things have become what? New. I want you to do that. Works, not your works, not your genius, not your talent. It's mine in you. And you are honoring me in and by and through all of that. You got the same stomach you had before you got saved. You have the same heart. The difference is that now you have a unique relationship. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, which are whose? Belongs to whom? Him. That's what you're doing. He didn't say, and greater works shall you do for nothing. And you'd read, you'd think, it doesn't supposed to go anywhere. You're supposed to read it and forget it. The whole New Testament is about it. Wow. Wow. Now, over if you would, please. To Philippians. In Philippians, if I may, in chapter 1, I can do it all, we'll do it, but I'm just doing a couple of places just to get it. How could you miss it? I'm going to read your New Testament and not catch it. It's easy to do, isn't it? Isn't it easy to read something and totally miss it? Absolutely. Absolutely. Philippians 1:6. Being confident, 1:6, Philippians. Being confident of this very thing, that purpose, he which hath begun a good work, not a work, a good work. A good work where? In you. We'll perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God, you started something, and you intend to finish it. That's correct. When it was born, I meant it to grow and develop and become. When you plant a garden, in case it comes to that point, and winter ends, and it gets in, you put something in the ground, a piece of seed, don't you want the seed to grow? Don't you want it? You put a little tomato plant you buy at the tomato shop, and you put it in the ground. Don't you want the little tomato plant to grow? Sure you do. God saves us and gives you a new birth. For what? To become what? To enter into the relationship. That's what it's about. God, you'd be insulted if you just said, God, you did a wonderful thing. You are who you are, and you did wonderful works. Good for you, God. Good for you. That's good for you. But you want separate from me, like the Gentiles, Israel, you are a special to me. And you belong to me in a unique way. You're mine to do something that no one else will do, to demonstrate the wonderful saving grace. When you received me as your Savior, I gave you eternal life. I rose again from the grave. And that's what the resurrection coming up, isn't it? Easter coming up, maybe, if we make it. That's about life. That's what it's about. It isn't about something else. It's about a wonderful life. Wow. So, Philippians, chapter, well, I got to quit. Are we getting there a little? I'm trying to help you get there. God didn't say this for nothing. God meant when you got saved, he meant to change your life, to give you his life. And he meant to put all of the rest of it on the cross. He doesn't care about your talent, your background, your personality, your idiosyncrasies. He crucified it. to give you a relationship to your Creator and your Redeemer. To do what? To be conformed to the image of His Son. That's what it's all about. Wow. Now, Philippians chapter 2, closing. I hope you got a little bit at least. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out, there's your little words all over the place, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Don't think it's some little flippant thing, oh well, I guess I'll do that. No, it's your life. It's exciting. Do you know when you were training, if make believe you trained for the Olympics or something, and when you're training for the Olympics, you don't go out there and out there for a year, maybe more than a year, training, a lifetime training. And you don't go out there and get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go and run around the whatever. You don't do that. And at 4 in the morning, you get up and, oh, yeah, I got to do this. No, you don't. You're committed. You're committed to run the race. And boom, with discipline, you run. And then you have breakfast. But you run. You're exercising. God, what are we looking at? We ought to work out. God, you said a good work inside of us, and we want to work out the relationship. Okay, God, now what? Verse 13. For reason, it is God which, what? Worketh in you, both as the Father worked in me, so He will work in you. Simple, not hard. You understand the relationship. I showed you, we shared all this in a perfect way. That's why I had to finish, perfect everything of what is human required humans to what? To be a vessel fit for your use. We aren't animals, instincts. We don't need God. And we aren't angels. We're humans. And humans need God to function. They were made for God in His image and likeness. And without it, they're abnormal. They aren't normal till they get saved. Wow. Now, so verse 13, I got to finish that and close. For it is God which worketh, present tense, working in you, both to will, to desire, to make it happen, and to do. Do you see the little verb, to do? That is the same word as the word work. To do, to work, to labor. All right? God, I'll read it that way. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to work of His good pleasure. God, you want to outwork all your good works, Ephesians 2:10, from the foundation of the world, were your workmanship. That's right. That's right. I want to show people what I can do with a piece of clay. I want to go and show, like Israel. They didn't do it. They will, but remember, we did it in our study of Jeremiah on Wednesday. Jeremiah 18:6 and that. God said, can I not take the piece of clay that's marred, like the potter that was still soft, and make it again? Can I not do that with you? Can I not take you who are a sinner and have nothing at all and do something wonderful with you? Can't I do that? It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Wow. You won't hear it much. People don't do this anymore, to be Christians in a Christ-like way. We don't do that. We're religious people. And we want religious something so that we're happy and satisfied. But God, it isn't about being happy and satisfied. It's about having a wonderful relationship to you. And that's better than being happy and satisfied. Do you understand? Wow. Our Father and God, set apart all of this. Help us a little bit, each little step. God, you have made it the evident, very evident. You have made it very clear, simple. God, we just have to believe. And if we don't believe God, then we're going to read, you can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That won't mean a thing. Whatever you ask in my name, you said, to believe, you shall have it. That won't mean anything either. So God, to move a fig tree, to move a tree into the ocean, God, that won't mean anything either. Because God, it's all more than, other than, and greater than. It's the outworking of your grace to show it's all of you and none of us. And we take none of us in order that we might have all of you. God, our God and Savior, thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.